Well, good morning, everyone. It's time to start the service. So let's all stand, if it's convenient for you, as we sing, "Behold, then sings my soul." Behold the Father's heart, the mystery He lavishes on us as deep cries out to Thee. Oh, how desperately He wants us. The things of earth stand next to Him like a candle to the sun. Thank you.
Thursday, the 22nd, we'll have our deacons meeting at 7 p.m. And the 25th, we will have our business meeting after the evening service.
I just wanted to talk about Awana. Imagine that. But I wanted to tell you, we had 42 kids here on our first night, which is about the average that we had at the end of last year. So super excited. They had 16 youth. I had a lot of leaders, but I can always use more. But we had a great night. So please come join us. We really need you. And kids, we really need you.
Tag on to her Awana. Meals will be served from 5 till 5:45. So we can eat in between there. I knew Greg wanted us to talk about that. No more announcements. Will y'all pray with me? God, thank you for being who you are. Lord, thank you for the blessings you've given us and the love you give us every day. God, I pray you be with us today and this week and throughout our lives and everything we need. God, I pray you watch over and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
1, 2, 3. Let's all stand to sing just over in the glory land. I've a home prepared. Saints alive, just over in the glory land, and I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land. Never once. Joshua 1:5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with you, with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. You know, that promise still holds true today.
Top, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but yes, our hearts will say, never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful.
Prison walls, and I will speak to my
fear, and I will preach to my doubt that you are faithful then, you'll be faithful now. This will end in victory, and I will believe it. I will believe it, 'cause you make mountains move, you make giants fall, you use songs of praise to shake prison walls, and I will speak to my fear, and I will preach to my doubt. You will faithful then, you'll be faithful now. Yes, you were faithful then, you'll be faithful now. And I know that I know you never fail. Yes, I know that I know you never will. Oh yes, I know that I know you never will. 'Cause you make mountains move. Sing it out. And I will speak to my fear, and I will preach to my doubt that you were faithful then, you'll be faithful now. 'Cause you make mountains move, you make giants fall, you use songs of praise to shake prison walls. And I will speak to my fear, and I will preach to my doubt that you were faithful then, you'll be faithful now. And you were faithful then, you'll be faithful now.
Amen. Be seated, please.
Ask our men to come and receive the morning offering. We're delighted you're in the Lord's house with us today. There are some visitors' cards that are in the pew in front of you. We'd appreciate it if you'd fill one of those out and drop it in the offering plate that we might have a record of your visit. One of our men will come and lead us in prayer.
Bow with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this wonderful day and this opportunity to be in your house to hear your word. Lord, I pray that you speak through Brother Lanny and open our hearts that we may receive your word and be able to apply it to our lives. Lord, now I want to thank you for this opportunity to give back to what you have given us. And I pray that you bless the gift and bless the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
you're involved in children's church, I'm going to allow you to be dismissed at this time and take charge of those hand-ins. Have a note from Travis and Pansy for the church, and it says thank you to all our brothers and sisters here at Osage Baptist Church. It's great to know the world is full of such generous people like you. We've got the best pastor that we could possibly... No, that doesn't... It doesn't say that. What are you guys laughing about? You know? Your prayers brought us through. Love, Travis and Pansy. Thank you all for being here. God bless you. God, good to have you back. And quite a ordeal. Okay, I'm not... I didn't turn something on enough. I'm sorry about that, Caleb. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans, the first chapter, the book of Romans, the first chapter. While I'm thinking of it, Dalton and Erica were sharing with me this morning that Dalton's grandfather was taken to the hospital, possibly a stroke this morning, and so we want to keep that family lifted up to the Lord. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And what a privilege it is that you're able to have God's word in your hand all over the world. All over the world. There are folks that do not have the Bible. And yet we're privileged here in the Bible Belt to have lots of Bibles. Most of us have several in our home, in our cars, and everywhere else we're able to carry the Bible on our phones. So it's a great privilege to be able to have God's Word in our presence and to actually own one. Romans 1, beginning with verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. He must have been a southerner, huh? That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now, at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul was hoping to go to Rome. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You may be seated. Now, we know that Paul never got to go to Rome as the missionary he hoped he would go there by, but he went as a prisoner and was jailed in Rome until his death. But he writes to the church at Rome, and he brags on them. Everybody needs an attaboy, and so he's giving them attaboy. You've really done good. Matter of fact, your faith is spoken of throughout all of the world. Everyone that hears about the church in Rome talks about your faith. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit later on. But let's start with verse 8. Their faith spoken of throughout the whole world. So if you profess to be a Christian, people are watching to see how you turn out. You tell folks, I'm a Christian. I know that there's folks that say that they're Christian. They don't know what the word is. They don't understand what it means to be a follower of Christ. But I notice that if you go to the hospital, they ask about what your religion is. Well, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's all other religions are trying to find God or focus on God. In Christianity, God has come. The Bible says Emmanuel. If you see a church, Emmanuel Baptist Church, that means God with us. God has come to make residence in us. Jesus Christ has come to make residence in our heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you profess to be a Christian, people are watching you to see how you turn out, to see if you stay with the stuff. And there's lots that have not. There's lots of folks that have brought shame to the cross of Christ. And when we become a Christian, we're certainly not going to be perfect. You're the only Bible that some people read. Those folks that you work with, those folks that you associate with, the person down at the gas station or the feed store or at Walmart, you may be the only Bible that they read. They know that you profess to be a Christian, and so they're watching you. They're listening to you. You're their Bible. They're learning about God through you. One of Romans' historians that was writing during the time that Paul is writing to this church said, Rome is where flow all things that are vile and abominable, and where they are encouraged. Sounds like America today, doesn't it? Some of you work in very difficult situations. Where it's hard to be a Christian, where you're made fun of. But stay with stuff. The Lord will bless that. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, and I'd like for us to look at that together. Turn back a few pages. The New Testament begins with the four Gospels. The Gospel means good news. The four books of good news. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I want you to look with me at Matthew's Gospel, the 5th chapter, and look down at verse 13. And he's talking about, if you have a red letter edition Bible, you know these are the words of Christ because they're in red. Some of you, this Bible is not a red letter edition, so it doesn't distinguish the words of Christ from others, which that's okay. But here Christ is doing the speaking. Jesus is doing the speaking. And he says to the Christian, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, that word savor means flavor or power. If it's lost its power, if it's lost its saltness, if it's no longer salt, if it's dissolved so much that it is no longer salty. My father-in-law used to tell about a time that salt was very hard to get a hold of. They couldn't buy it in the store. And he said what people would do is go out to the smokehouse where they smoked and salted down their meat in the wintertime when salt was available, and they'd salt down those big slabs of meat and the hams and the shoulders and all that. And as that salt would run off the meat, it would fall in the dirt. And so they would take up the dirt and boil it, put it in water and boil it, and use the water to salt their stuff because they couldn't get a hold of any salt. Here the Bible says in the Christian's life, in the church's life, and this is what I see happening in churches all over the world, that it's losing its salt. It's losing its ability to be salt. One reason, I think, is because it's left the Word. It's left the Word of God. And so it's become so diluted with the world that folks can't tell where the world stops and the church starts. And so it's lost its saltness. And so now let's bring it home to us individually. Us individually as Christians. This is what he says here in this passage. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor or its saltness, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth... Somebody know what those next words are? Good for nothing. So you know what I think's happening? When the church loses its saltness, good for nothing. When the Christian loses its saltness, it's good for nothing. Going through the motions. Going through the motions. Singing. Preaching. Praying. But yet the Lord said, if it's lost its saltness, it's good for nothing. Good for nothing. And so that's what he says. But to be cast out and be trodden on the foot of man. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And then he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Just a couple more comments about salt and light. Salt, when it is salty. By the way, I think it's made up of two elements that if you took them by themselves, it'd be poison, but because it's mixed together, it's good. Salt has within it a healing agent. You ever soak your foot in salt water? Has a healing agent to it. When I was a kid, didn't go to the doctor much. Used home remedies. My mother thought that black broth healed everything. If you don't know what that is, it's good, real good cough medicine. Salt has a healing agent in it. Salt is a preservative. When I was a kid and we butchered, we put salt on the meat to preserve it, didn't have a deep freeze like we have now. We had a building, a shed, a smokehouse where we put the slabs of meat on tables and salted it down. It's a preservative. But if you've had an egg for breakfast in the last few mornings, you've probably put a little salt on it because it adds flavor, especially to an egg. I'd have trouble eating an egg without a little salt on it. That's what the Christian life is all about. The Christian life is to bring healing. The church is to be a place of healing for people to come. Not a place of judgment. And I know that sometimes that folks, they come to church and they think that folks around them are judging them or something because of their past or because of something they've gotten into. But the church is not a place of judgment. The church is a place of healing. It's where people come and get healed. Get healing in their life. It's a place where they come, where the church is to love on them, no matter what has taken place in their life, that we love on them. Church is to love the unlovely. The church is to love the EGRs, the extra grace required in people's lives, and yet the church loves on them. I was in a state camp in Solemn Springs a few years ago, back when I was young enough to go, Raj. camp was the meeting was over for the day, and there had been a production that night of young people singing. They started a choir at the very first day of camp, and kids joined the choir. Well, this was like Thursday night or something like that, whenever camp was going to be over the next day. This was Thursday night, and they had a production before the preaching. And they had a choir loft, and the choir loft was filled with teenagers, kids. And, it was full. The building was full. The camp was full of people. And they just absolutely raised the roof with that production. It was fantastic. And this big old boy that was leading them, you could tell he was in it with everything that he had. He had given it all he had that week to teach those kids those songs. And I was standing out at the refreshment place, and there were several adults standing around me, and I'm kind of shy. I don't like to talk to folks, so I was trying to get away from everybody. I was trying to find somebody to talk to. And here was a couple standing over here, so I just went over and started a conversation with them. And I said, was that not fantastic? Wasn't that great? Wasn't the singing great? That production, man, that just blew me away. This couple said, let us tell you about the song later. We picked him up on the bus for years at church. When he'd get off the bus, we'd take him straight to the bathroom and clean him up, wash his face, clean him up for church. And we did that for years. And tears just began to stream down their face. And they said, now here he is, here he is. Church is a place for people to be loved on. Salt, healing, preservative, adding taste. And then he said light. We're to be not only salt, but we're to be light. Can you imagine a world without light? Can you imagine, you know, it's daylight and we're burning the lights in here. Can you imagine a world without light? Light penetrates darkness. It just drives it away some way. When you turn on the light, where does it go? I mean, does it run into the cracks of the building? Does it run out the door? Where does that darkness go when you turn on the light? But it disappears. And Jesus said the church is to be salt, and it's to be light in a world of darkness. We're to just keep on being light. Penetrates the darkness, but it also reveals the truth. The light reveals the truth. Let me tell you something, folks. This word is truth, and it will never lose its light. This word will never lose its light. The thing that you and I need to be involved in is just getting it out there. Get the word out there. The world doesn't need be entertained. The world needs salt and light. Verse 9, Paul said, I'm praying for you. What a privilege to pray. What a privilege to pray. It's a privilege for the Christian. It's part of our armor. Now, it's not armor that you can see. And when look with me in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Look at verse 13. This starts the whole armor of God. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of gospel peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then verse 18, he brings that together by saying in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, this word Spirit here, if your translation is mine, it is capitalized. What does that mean? It's the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit praying for us, the Bible says, because we don't know the things that we ought to pray for as we should. But the Holy Spirit knows the things that need to be prayed for, so the Holy Spirit prays through us. And so it's all part of taking that stand against the devil that he's talking about here in Ephesians. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. When we pray, we engage our enemies. Who are they? Well, the Bible says, not flesh and blood. It's principalities and power and spiritual wickedness in high places. Look at Matthew 16. And I say also unto thee, he's talking to Peter here. He has asked the disciples, Jesus has asked the disciples, who does the world say that I am? And some said, some believe that you're that prophet. Some say that you're John the Baptist raised from the dead. Other people believe other things. But he said, now this is important. Who do you believe that I am? As the disciples, who do you believe that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so he looked at Peter, Peter's name was, he changed it. Petros, it's a little rock, a stone, a little pebble. Your name means pebble. Your name means little stone, little rock, Peter. But upon this, and he uses a different word, which means boulder, huge rock. But upon this huge rock, I'll build my church. And listen to what he says here. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So now, let me ask you this. You think about a fortress. We've talked about the whole armor of God. We've talked about shields and swords and helmets. But when you think about gates, is that a offensive or defensive weapon? Is a gate an offensive or defensive weapon? If I said, okay, we're getting ready to go to war, everybody go get their gate, you'd say you're crazy. No, it's for defense. It's for defense, right? It's for defense. Now listen to me. And he says, now Peter, who did you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Your name stands for pebble, a small stone. But upon this boulder, this huge belief that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, the only way to heaven, the only way to be saved, the only way for folks' lives to be changed is through Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it is in this that you believe, Peter, that the gates of hell will not be able to prevail. Now, this is what I think that means. I think that the devil starts building a fortress around people from the time they're born. I believe that the devil will keep you lost if he can and take you straight to hell. So he builds a fortress around you to keep you in that ditch, to keep you in that position of lostness. I told some folks this morning that I wasn't raised in church. My folks didn't go. I remember a preacher coming to our house one time, talking to my daddy, before my father-in-law talked to him and he got saved. But when I was a kid, this preacher stopped and talked to my dad, talked to him about his soul. But he didn't talk to any of the rest of us. Us kids are there. I never went to church. My mother read the Bible some to us at night. And so I knew a little bit about the Bible. I mean, I didn't know much, but I didn't know hardly anything about the Bible, but I knew some of the stories. I knew about the flood and some things like that. But So I had this wall around me that the devil had built. This was what I believed. I believed that you do anything that you're big enough to do and be as mean as you want to be. And then when you get old and you can't do anything else, you get baptized and join the church and go to heaven. That's really what I believed. And because that's what I saw. My grandmother was baptized sitting in a chair because she couldn't walk when she was 80 years old. And I saw that. That's what I believed. Cousin of mine, he's not living now, but he and I rode motorcycles together, and we've been playing in this mud hole with these motorcycles, and we sat down to rest, and for some reason he brought up heaven and hell. And he said to me, "Do you plan on going to hell when you die?" And I said, "No." He said, "I do. I'm not going to change. I'm planning on doing exactly as I want to do. When I die, I'm going to hell." And I said, I didn't like that. I said, I plan on changing. Anyway, I got a call on the cell phone. I don't know how much longer after that it was. Maybe it had been 2 years. I don't know. But I had a classmate to call me on the phone. And they were having a revival in the Methodist Church at St. Joe, a youth revival. And I was about 16 years old, close to it. And this girl called me and she said, "We're having a revival at the Methodist Church." And she said, "Lanny, I'd like for you to come." She said, "I got saved last night." I never heard that word before. I didn't know what that meant, but I'd figured out it must mean you accept God. And I said, "It's not for me." "Oh," she said, "it is for you. You need this. It's for you." I won't be there. The gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. Something happened. The gates of hell was penetrated. And I went to that revival that night. I can't tell you anything the preacher said other than I knew I was lost and needed Jesus. They gave an invitation for people to be saved. I got up from where I was at, went down to the altar and asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and be my Savior. Made a bunch of mistakes since then. But I'm telling you, my life has never been the same. I'm going to ask you to do that today, to give Jesus your heart. Let's stand together. Mike's going to come. Monica is going to play. And we are going to give folks an invitation to accept Christ as their Savior. You can put him off today. Say, "I don't want him. I'm not going to do this." And I want you to know that there's the devil is sitting on your shoulder and he's trying to keep you from making that decision for Christ. And he's doing all that he can to keep those gates closed where the gospel can't penetrate it. Will you come right now? Will you come right now? That's a way to do it. Get right there.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and meant for me. Patient and loving, he's waiting and watching.
Janice came by and talked to me Wednesday night after Awanas, and she said, "I want to be saved and baptized." Isn't that good stuff? Isn't that good stuff? Yeah, it's good stuff. And so we made an appointment to talk together this morning during Sunday school, and Candace and her folks came to my office this morning, and we went through the plan of salvation, Roman Road, and Candace and I and our folks got on our knees there around that little coffee table, and she prayed and asked Jesus to come into her heart, be her Savior. So now she's coming to make that public and to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. What's the pleasure of the church concerning Candace? Everybody said? Amen. Amen. All right. Nina, come and stand here with me. Nina has asked Jesus into her heart as personal Savior. She's making public profession of that today. And requesting membership in the church by believer's baptism. What's the pleasure of the church concerning Nina? Everybody said, amen. Amen. It's a good day, huh? Amen. God's good all the time. We're going to do this next Sunday. We're going to have the baptism next Sunday. I hope we do this next Sunday, too. But we're going to have the baptism next Sunday. And I've been so blessed to be able to get to baptize folks. They tell me I've baptized over 500 since I've been here. But every once in a while, I have the privilege of baptizing someone that's never seen a baptism. Hey, can you believe that? but these have. And so anyway, when we have someone come and join Osage, we ask for encouragers to come and stand with them. So we're going to ask, as God deals with your heart, to be an encourager, would you come and stand with them? And then you others, when we are dismissed, we want you to come around and give them the right hand of Christian fellowship, welcoming them into the fellowship of our church. Let's stand together. And Tom Wood, would you go to the microphone, please, and dismiss us?
Bow your heads with me. Our Father in heaven, we just really thank you for the Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. That not one soul on the face of this earth has to die in their sins because Jesus died for us. And we thank you that he's calling and the grace and salvation are so freely offered. He's knocking on the door and not barging in with the truth and love of God. And we all in this church right now that believe that are certainly benefactors of the grace and mercy that you pour out on us day by day. We thank you for these two people who have stepped forward today and joined in with us that one day we all walk on the streets of gold because of the fact that Jesus died for us. We pray that we can be lights and beacon on a hill to proclaim this great message that it's not us, but Jesus. And these things we pray for in his name. Amen. And just a little side note, thank you for the fact that Brother Travis has joined us. Amen.